Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks. I tell you, it has been bright and early. For some reason, I haven't been able to sleep the last 3 or 4 days. I have been so just full of creativity and ideas. And I don't, I'll just say that in a pompous way. It's just when I'm like that, I've got to write. So I've been writing and shooting videos, I mean, starting as early as 4 o'clock the last few days. And it's like, we're getting some good stuff out. We're making just some great inroads for what we're trying to do this year. But this book of Eric's that we're reading now, Socialnomics, has been just a catalyst in that. Because each chapter that I go through, that I read, is so powerful. It's so impactful. And today, chapter 2, social media equals preventative behavior. And this is great. Because he really goes into all kinds of stuff. But the tagline on this, I thought this was beautiful. What happens in Vegas stays on YouTube. And I thought, man, how true is that? You know, it's one thing when you're a, and I'm gonna talk to the men for a second. You know, when we're young and we're studs and we're out and about, we think everything's cool. You know, we see a little boob shot or a butt shot. It's like, wow. Well, you know what? When you start having teenage girls, you start to realize, that wasn't cool. Living down here in Florida, we happen to go down to spring break every year and run the little gauntlet down there. And a couple of years ago, we were down there when Girls Gone Wild was in, and watching how they take and use these girls who are drunk and get them to sign releases while they're intoxicated and then put them on a video. Not only is it disheartening for the poor things that have got to grow up now and have that somewhere out there, but it's totally manipulative and it's abusive in my book. So as I was reading through Eric's chapter here, I thought, man, you know, social media has changed a lot of things. Social media has made it to where all of a sudden these young teenage boys and girls are starting to think twice. Now, that doesn't mean they're still not sexting. That doesn't mean that there's still not a lot of crap going on. But it does make you wake up and think. You don't just go out and do. And I think that's the key here that everybody's got to look at. That's the power behind it. And one of the things that he writes about in this book, and I thought this was beautiful, he said, more than a few students have been kicked out of universities for collaborating on Twitter, High Five, Facebook, MySpace, and the like for assigned individual school projects. It's old news that potential employers haven't hired some people purely because of inappropriate content or associations on MySpace or Facebook. Or how about the teacher who has been asked to step down for overly or overtly sexual content within their social networks? That when I read that, I thought, you know what? Social media has, in some ways, been very beneficial. Because although you can find just about any dirty, nasty, crazy, stupid, dangerous, mean thing out there on the net, it has also brought back some people who have been on the fringe, been on the edge, and they've realized, I need to make sure I do things that are clean. You know, it's no doubt that my videos over the last 12 months have permeated the internet. And in some cases, we've seen some positive impact. In some cases, people have said, that's the dumbest video we've ever seen. We take that criticism to heart. We figure out what we can do with it. But at the same time, by using social media, the videos that we have shot have also caused companies to make some changes in policies, procedures. They've contacted us. They've asked us to service and or beta test their services and products to make sure they're legit. We've also given a platform for people that have been either disgruntled or frustrated or happy and excited to be able to share their comments about these companies. And this is truly the wave of the future. I believe that social networks, and Eric writes about this, are so powerful that at the very heart of the corporation, at the very heart of people's lives, social media has been able to change the way they think, feel, and behave. I've been able to contact people that I haven't seen in 20 years. I've been able to reach out to folks who made a difference in my life and share a little bit with them, and actually they were very blown away with it. See, it works both on a personal level. It allows us as parents as a way to stay in contact with our teens. See, teens sometimes don't want you to know everything that's going on. They don't want you to be asking them questions. Or if you're like me, when they do ask questions, you give them a nonchalant answer. But by being part of their network, all of a sudden, you're able to see what's happening. And I'll tell you a humorous little story about this. Tessa the other day on Facebook, without updating her profile, she put her phone number on Facebook. Within 15 minutes, her brother called and said, "Hey, did you know Tessa just put her phone number on Facebook?" Bam, it was down. Big Brother was truly watching in this case before even Dad caught it. See, this is what it's about. It's staying in touch. You know, a lot of times you hear old traditional teachers, pastors, mentors, counselors talk about how the family never sits around the kitchen table anymore. And you know, that's pretty much true. Everybody seems to be busy, busy, busy. But you know, you are able to stay in contact with your teens just through Facebook. I believe social media is a conduit for that. Eric puts in here, he writes it this way: in many instances, social media can help bring families a little closer by enabling parents to obstructively follow their kids' lives. And that's true. I've seen people and places and things on Tess's or Cassie's Facebook, and I've been able to correct that. When I've seen them do something very good, I've praised them for it in front of their peers and in front of other people. This does two things. One, it lets anybody that's on their profile know Daddy's watching. And if they come over and see who Daddy is, they realize that he probably won't play games. I had a guy today call me a crusty old Marine. It's probably true. You know, that's the kicker here. It's amazing what you find and what you see. Now, does that mean that the teens are going to be truthfully? Does that mean they don't have a different profile, that they might be a little wild and crazy on? Absolutely not. It could happen. But it does allow for a little bit of connection there. See, it also allows for interaction without a lot of effort. It's not like having to write an email back to a student. It isn't like trying to pry or to filter or to spy and stuff. This is a way to keep track of stuff. Now, Eric writes, while ignorance can sometimes be bliss, social media provides insight for parents into the day-to-day activities of their child. And that's a true statement. But here's something else that I've learned. As someone who's done a lot of different things, interaction with people, from being a bounty hunter to a counselor to running corporations, I also know that men and women sometimes do different things and act a different way. They put on a different persona when they're at work than when they're at home. Sometimes what starts out as innocent flirting ends up in an affair. And when you're connected with your spouse and stuff on a social network, all of a sudden you've got to pay attention. You've got to be on your P's and Q's. You've got to watch what you say. It's not saying that you're changing. It's not saying that you're hiding something. It makes you stay and realize, okay, I want to make sure I don't ever screw up. This keeps me from that. It can be an accountability type deal. You know, and I think that's good. Another thing that Eric writes in here, it also keep in mind that some parents will not bless their children's social media use unless they're part of the child's network. That's very true. You know, we wouldn't let the girls go out and get any type of profile until we were made a friend. And then we made sure their brothers were friends. Because that way we've got a watchful eye. It's not to hinder or damper what the girls are doing. It's to make sure that everything is copacetic. It's to make sure if something happens, we know who they are. And we can make sure that people are notified. This is the way it works here. Now, it also works in the opposite. It could be maybe the girls are falling for one of those bad boy type guys. And they're a little rough around the edges, a little wild, and all of a sudden the girls become part of their social network. I've seen in a couple of cases that's happened. And Eric writes in here. He says, for example, if a rowdy partying guy was trying to impress a particular prudish or reserved girl, his behavior in the social network might be a little more refined after she becomes part of his network and is privy to his activities and behavior. Well, that isn't a bad thing. You can straighten a little wild child up, and that's a good thing. Preventative behavior in business. Where did the business fits in? What good is social media to business? Because lately we're starting to see more and more. Matter of fact, there's 300,000 businesses that have pages over on Facebook. So we're seeing this happen. And one of the things is some of the sites that Eric mentions. He mentions in here the microblogging of Twitter, FriendFeed, and Six Apart. You know, business is starting to get out there. Hershey's out there. You know, Starbucks is out there. Dell Computers out there. Comcast is out there. Matter of fact, talking about Comcast, he uses an example. He says Comcast, who is notoriously terrible with their customer service, did a progressive and great thing from the beginning when it came to microblogging. Comcast assigned a person to monitor conversations that mentioned the term Comcast. I thought that was pretty good. And as you read through this, he tells a story about how because one person happened, which this guy just happens to be Michael Arlington over at TechCrunch, you know, and he's only got 100 million trillion people that follow that blog. He's like, great. He's one of my heroes. Okay, he writes a little blog on it, and within 20 minutes, Comcast is calling after not being able to get it fixed for 2 days, and they take care of it. JetBlue's another one. JetBlue's been trying to stay connected. They keep the pulse on the customer. So it was kind of interesting because somebody posted on JetBlue. And JetBlue happened, their corporate communications manager actually wrote and said, you know, I'm sorry if we make you feel blue or feel weird because we're following you on Twitter. We're not a bot. It's just merely me and my team keeping our ears to the ground and listening to customers. Here's the greatest part. It's not marketing. It's trying to engage on a level other than mass broadcast, something I personally believe more companies should try. See, that's the key right there. People are not looking for advertising. People are not looking to be broadcasted to. People are looking for relationships. I believe that even with companies. I believe the most successful companies out there build relationships. I've got a company that I do a lot of business with, and yet you cannot find the CEO of that company anywhere on the internet. Constantly I'm trying to get him to get a bigger presence. Constantly I'm trying to make him get himself personal. He won't do it for whatever reason. It's amazing to me. And it's like, okay, the companies that succeed are the companies that connect with their people. There was another instance here on Twitter where one of the authors of a book called Landing Page Optimization had been following stuff. He was doing a little vanity search on his name to see what was coming up, and he found a post on Twitter where the author had said, my husband just handed me a book by Tim Ash called Landing Page Optimization. Is this a good book? So Tim responds, yes, it's a great book. The lady that was asking the question said, aren't you the author? And he said, yes, I'm the author. She goes, well, if I don't like this book, will you refund my money? And he said, yes, I'm so confident that you will like the book, I will refund your money if you don't. Now, see, that's interaction. You know, when I connected with Eric and said, Eric, I want to use your book as the foundation of my broadcast, of my radio show for the next few weeks. And he didn't pass me off. He wrote me right back and said, Troy, that's great. Flattery will get you everywhere. Can you go over and do a review on Amazon for me? Because I've got a few over there that weren't very good. Well, I'm not only going to be doing a review this afternoon, I'm doing a video review because y'all know video happens to be my little brand. And we're going to let people know how much we love this book and what it's meant. And I'll tell you what, it's actually helped me because I've had this book since last year. So I've actually used this book and the philosophies that Eric teaches in this book and the information to help build our brand. So I know it works. See, this is the cool thing. And when businesses take this to heart, when they communicate back, you know, people ask me all the time, Troy, why do you let so many comments go on your blog post, even when they're nasty and hurtful towards you? And it's because, man, these people need to be able to vent. Not all the time does it have to be positive towards me. It doesn't even have to be positive or negative to what I'm talking about. But this is the difference from being transparent and authentic than what most people do. Most people don't want to be transparent and authentic in business because they don't like being hurt. They don't want criticism. They want to be living in a utopia and believe that everything's peachy king, everything's great. It doesn't happen that way. We all make mistakes. But with the right social media tool, you can post a comment, you can post a video, you do it in seconds, you can do it on your laptop, you're out there kicking butt. If you're a business owner, you should have a team. I don't care how small or large you are. I don't care how bad they tell you the economy is. You should have a team focused. Folks, we talked about this yesterday. The Obama administration tore up the election, and they did it because they were nailing the internet left and right. I'm telling you, this is what it takes. Effective companies, Eric writes this in this book, effective companies and people relish critic online feedback. They use this information to make themselves more competitive by improving their products and their services in the eyes of the consumer. Man, this is huge. Listen here. How are you going to know you can get better? If you're not listening to the people that are buying your products, using your services, how are you going to get better? If you're in a network marketing company, you CEOs should have blogs. BK Barreco, my good friend, blogs constantly, shoots videos, puts them up on YouTube. The reason that he's out there is because he understands and knows if I'm going to make this thing happen, I have to connect. And he's out there connecting. He also takes criticism very well. Man, if there's something that just isn't right and somebody tells him about it, he's out there saying, well, what can we do to fix it? How can we make this happen? What can we do better? It amazes me, and I'm going to use this. His connections out there have allowed him to really become friends with some great people. Other CEOs, other distributors in other companies, they trust him. You don't get that by hiding behind your corporate office. You get it by being out front, focused, loyal, kicking butt. That's the name of the game. That's how you kick it up. And folks, I'm telling you, if you're going to be using social media, you need to buy this book by Eric Qualman, Socialnomics, How Social Media Transforms the Way We Live and Do Business. The more I've studied his book in here, the more passionate I just get all the time. You know, it's the feedback. It's friends' feedback. It's critics' feedback. You know, I'll put a post up, and usually if I put a post up about a company, it goes really well when it's a positive review. If I put a company review up and it's negative, then, you know, all hell breaks loose because people come out of the woodwork. And it's fun to watch because in a lot of cases, these people are loyal to the brand. Because they love the founder of the company. They love the owner of the company. It gets them excited about where they're going and what they're doing. And it's like, this rocks. But then at other times, you get people out and they defend their own actions. It has nothing to do with the company. It has nothing to do with what they're doing. So when you're out here studying this, you've got to do it right. Now let's look at Facebook for a second. I'm going to go off the book for a second. Let's just look at Facebook. It's not about, well, matter of fact, it's not just Facebook, it's everybody. There's this naive, I don't know, it comes from old-fashioned advertising. And the whole thing is that it's all about the list. It's about how many names you have on your list. It's about how big my list is. You know, that concept, I guarantee you, the concept of how big is this or mine's bigger than yours came from some man somewhere. Because women have understood for years, it's not the size that matters. It's the quality of the list. It's the quality of those people that they're trying to contact. It's the quality of the target audience. See, size is not important in a list. I have several different lists. In a few cases, they're smaller than other big, gigantic marketers. But yet my return on investment is higher because it's very targeted. My list at Facebook is a very targeted list. When I do a video post, the reason it goes viral is because I tag people in my video post that this video has meaning to. I just don't slap their name on it. Huge, huge, huge difference. Makes all the difference in the world. That's the key. Another thing about social media. When people reach out, you've got to respond. You know, I have some people this week who had birthdays, so I sent them little birthday thank yous. Not one person wrote me back. This shows a true ineptness, a true narcissism, a true egotistical, pompous attitude. Not even a blanket thank you. I had my birthday last month. I don't know, over 1,000 people sent me thank yous. I responded to every one of them. My hands hurt like crazy that night. Every one of them got a personal message, not just a blanket email, not just a blanket comment back on their comment, happy birthday. But I took time to connect and connect in a personal way. This is the difference between people that want to just go out and make money, people that pretend they're one thing and do another, transparency and authenticity. It's not about how big your list is. It's about how qualified that list is. If you want to stand out in a crowd in social media, then you have to do it correctly. You have to be building relationships even in a virtual world. That's the name of the game. That's the way that it's operated. those people that aren't doing that, those people that are just out there thinking that it's got to be about a big list, they're the ones that usually get hurt. They're the ones that usually end up getting shut down. They're the ones that are spamming people. You know, I get people all the time, and I give them warnings. And if they violate the warning of spamming, then they're done. I defriend them. I'm not looking for huge amounts of friends. I'm looking for the right kind of friends. I'm looking for friends that I can help, friends that will be there, friends that I can say, let me see if I can help you with your company. See, that's the key to this. That's what it takes if you're going to build something and build it right. And that's what Eric talks about in this book. This is so good. Once you understand what social media is about, once you understand what social nomics is about, both on a personal level and on a business level, it makes all the difference in the world. My wife is a romance writer. She goes out there and she becomes friends with other authors. She looks at what they write about. She listens to what they're saying. She buys their books and then she'll comment on them. You know, Dondi Scamanchi and I met through the radio show. She came on our radio show. I thought she was a phenomenal person. She sent me an autographed copy of her book and I thought, how sweet is this? And I started reading her book. And then obviously, as you guys know, we did a whole radio series on this thing because it was so powerful. She's got new books coming out. This is social media. It's when you actually connect with people and you find ways to benefit them that this comes in and that it works. And that's why when I started reading Eric's book, I thought, you know, if more and more companies would understand that. One of the things that BK Brieco does, and you guys know I just love using him because of what he's done in this industry. But he made it very clear, Troy, I want you to tag me in videos so that I can see them. I don't want to have to come looking for them. I want you to tag me in them. Do be respectful. You know, if it's going to be on another company, you know, you might not want to tag me because I have all my Vima people there. But when it's something that's important to the industry, please tag me on that. And I do. Now, if it's something that I think he needs to see and it's about another company, I send him a private email, a little private post, and he'll go take a peek at it. And if he thinks it's important, he comments. See, when people know that BK's commenting on something, then they listen, they take hold, because he has that kind of influence. Now, I've got other people that want to be friends with me right now. And they're not friends with any of my friends, or only friends with one or two of my friends. And sad to say, folks, I don't just become friends with them. Because I can tell that all they're doing is going through and tagging people, trying to get this high number, thinking that the number is what's important. And it's never has been about the number. It is an insurance. But in media, in marketing, it's about a targeted audience. It's about targeting specific people. You know, I had a guy that I'm becoming real good friends with, Bobby D. And he tagged me in a video, and he said, Troy, can you just give me... Actually, he didn't tag me in the video. He sent me a private message, and he said, will you please look this over? He goes, I love your videos, and I want you to give me honest feedback on the video that I'm doing, because I really want to use it in my prospecting for my company. Well, I looked at his video. A couple points, I almost had tears in my eyes. I mean, he's nailing this head on. I'm laughing. It's got humor in it. It's got seriousness in it. It's only about 6, 7, 8 minutes long. I wrote him back and said, dude, not only do I think this thing rocks, I would like your permission to steal it and be able to put it up where people can learn who you are, because this is important. And I tagged a few influential people on Facebook, said, you got to watch this. Next thing I know, Bobby's writing me saying, Troy, people liked my video, man. I've got people calling me and talking to me and want to be on a radio show. I don't even think he realized who I was at the time. See, this is what it's all about. Tommy Chenault the other day tagged me in a post because a friend of ours was doing a bunch of reviews on leaders. And the next thing I know, I've got these people doing reviews on me. And here I am going over and doing reviews on them. And it's like, this is what the connection, the social media side of things is. See, now you're starting to build not just a network. You're starting to build friendships. It's all about the friendships. It's all about the people that you connect with. I put a video up a little earlier this year. Had a guy question my integrity, and instead of me defending myself, I just put a video up and said, hey, this guy questions my integrity. If others have anything to say about this, hey, leave a comment and I'll make sure he gets it. That way, if you all agree with him, he'll be vindicated. And if you all disagree with him, then he'll shut up and go away. Well, I can honestly tell you he shut up and went away. Because other people came forward. And here's the fun part, folks. When you do this right, when you're out there giving value to people in your network, and it's spreading, all of a sudden you'll look down there and say, I don't have a clue who this person is. And they'll give you something good. Now, every now and then, there's going to be somebody that's going to be negative, somebody that you've hurt, somebody that just doesn't get it right. I was over on businessforhome.org this last weekend, and I saw a leader, good leader, somebody that people respect, somebody had just written a doggone nasty review on him. And he comes back and says, I don't know who this person is. I've never worked with them before, yada, yada, yada. Defending his ego, because his ego got bruised. Folks, I can tell you, if I've hurt you, if I've harmed you, if you think I'm the worst idiot in the world, I expect you to write that on my blog. I expect you to write that on Facebook. Not because I just want to be beat. I'm not into S&M or anything like that, but here's the kicker. If I've hurt one person, and I can find out who that person is, I can find out what I did, because I can guarantee it was probably inadvertently. And then I can correct it. See, leaders shouldn't be worried about their ego. And that's one of the things Eric talks about as we move into here. This is constructive. Even the worst criticism, even the nastiest person, you can find an ounce of honesty in what they're writing. And that's what I think is cool. One of the things he writes in here, and this is great because it's about this constructive feedback. A good everyday analogy of constructive feedback is a friend who lets you know when you have an unsightly poppy seed stuck in your teeth prior to a big blind date. This friend is much more reliable than the politically polite and silent friend who never says a word. Perhaps the biggest difference between these examples and traditional message boards doesn't have anything to do with the tactical or the technology. It has to do with the sphere of influence of the people posting. In social media, people are real. People post. In forums and bulletin boards, people sometimes tend to be politically correct because they know all their information is right there. And people might not like them, and they might get banned, and they might not ever come back if they irritate the administrators and all that good stuff. In social media, as long as you're not spamming the fire out of people, you're just being open and honest. You're not threatening to kill them. You know, you're not putting up horrendous pictures, then your information stays rock solid. See, I love feedback. I did a post yesterday on a scam alert on a company called Narc That Car. I've been called a crusty old Marine. I've been called paranoid. I've been called a few other things we can't say on the radio. I've been told I need to check out some other companies that are doing the same thing. And then I've had a bunch of people say, dude, we walked away from that because it looked so scammy. And, you know, everybody had the same concerns, but people wanted to voice the concerns that, hey, just because a person's down on their luck and can't make a car payment doesn't mean you turn them into a creditor. You don't turn them into the to the Gestapo. I mean, that's almost socialism. You know, that's communism. Bad. And then I posted, well, what about if your daughter and your wife's in that car and they go into a store and they come back out, and because these people used Narc That Car, they took their car. Something happened to your wife or daughter that night because a pedophile or a rapist or a stalker just happened to be around and nobody else was. And I had a guy right back and say, you're paranoid. I'm going to respond to him in a minute with a true life story. But folks, the key here in social media is that you want to build influence. You want to be transparent. You want people to believe in you. You want to be able to go out there with your brand and talk to them. You want them to understand, hey, our company listens to the little people. We don't just make dogmatic decisions. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about social media. You're going to love this. The braggadocious behavior. It's all about me, 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 me. I'm going to talk about how it's not about you. It's always about the other people. We're going to use Eric's book to really, really hone in on how you can become the authority in the conversation by talking about other people. Live an awesome, awesome day today. Have fun. We'll see you tomorrow.